Father, you are seated in our midst. We worship you, God. Today, Lord, we give our hearts to you anew. Be enthroned upon the praises and the worship of your people. We thank you that, Lord, you dwell amongst us and your glory resides in us and it rises from within us. We give you thanks, Lord, for today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome back to church. Remember what I shared last week? What's the title of my message last week? No prize. But what's the title? Nobody knows. I thought I repeated, emphasized, reiterated, reinforced so many times. Yes, the valley of Achor, however you pronounced it. But it's from Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 to 23. And we talked about valley of Achor represent a place of sin and punishment or discipline, but yet it was also a spiritual, very fruity ground, you know, that God wants to bless. That how in the troubled waters we sometimes don't see the potential of God's blessing, and blessing comes in disguise. And as I waited on the Lord the past weeks, it was very interesting that God didn't give anything but just a few words. And I asked God, is that all? Is that all? And then I remembered I didn't need to have more words because last week was high praise and that's only 15 to 20 minutes time allocated. But just before I came to church last week, the Lord began to pour in a lot more. And I thought, hey, how am I going to do this in a very short session? But I didn't tell Pastor Ed, and then he says, how about you do your message in 2 weeks? And so this is the part two of what I left behind last week. Let's look at Hosea 2 verse 15 again before I continue today. Hosea 2:15. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. I will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. So part two of last week's message is about the door of hope. God has been giving me dreams, vision, impression about doors in the last couple of weeks. Let's draw a sword. Let's draw a sword. Hello, warriors. And repeat after me. Father, we declare the sword of the Spirit in my hand. And what is rooted in my spirit gives me the power of the living hope in Christ Jesus. I believe today, as you open these words to us, I will grow in my spirit. I will be transformed. I will be awakened. I will be strengthened. I will be courageous. I will be a living testimony for you. I thank you for the word of God. I will not take lightly the word spoken to me. In Jesus' name, amen. The door of hope. Now this guy, Mildred Allen Jeffrey, wrote, doors are opened many ways. I know in our lives, some of your doors are very nice in your home. My doors have faded paint, peeling off. My house is in a very pathetic state right now. Paints are peeling everywhere, dropping everywhere. And so some of us have very nice, strong, looking, sophisticated doors or gates. Some of us have artistic doors and gates. But whatever it is, doors speaks. So Mildred Allen say, doors are opened many ways by a key or beam of light, by gentle touch or sudden jar, or by the wind at night. Right? Some of you, when the wind blow and it goes, boom. Who's that? Who's that? Who's that? Doors are open many ways which we may understand, but most important are the doors God opened with his hands. Amen? Amen? Now, the word door or gate in Greek, it has different representation. But one of it is thura, T-H-U-R-A in Greek. It means connected. In Greek, doors means connected. And it speaks of doors connecting us to something, inverted commas. Right? Some doors, when you open, is a beautiful room. I remember once we entered, we were checked into a hotel. And it's a junior suite in Park Royal. It was a gift from a very close friend. And so, all these years before we got married, I would say, I'll one day take you to Park Royal. And I always laugh at it. And I always joke whenever we pass hotels, say, when is my Park Royal treat? But God is a God of amazing act. So just a couple of years ago, someone gave us a voucher to Junior Suite of Park Royal. And we couldn't take the kids along because he didn't want the kids to come along anyway. And so when we opened the door, it's my first time being lavish on a suite. Although it's called Junior, it was good enough. You know, so when I opened, I said, wow. But some doors, when we open, it's a cluttered storeroom. Some doors we open is a horrifying backyard. When I was small, in my growing up years, we had a very difficult life. We were always hopping, shifting house from one to another in Georgetown. Long pre-war house. And we rent a room. A room, a very small room where three siblings and two parents cram in. But that was the way of life. I've never knew how luxurious houses can be. That was my way of life. So no complaint. I grew up. But there was one particular house or room we rented have 20 over families in that one pre-war house. Can you imagine? You have to wait. You see the door of the toilet, but it only can be seen, cannot be reached yet because you got to queue up. And so every time I come back home, I'm aiming at the door of the toilet because I sweat a lot. The moment I come home, I drop my bag. At 10, 11 years old, I'll drop my bag and I'll grab my towel, no dilly-dally. And I'll just go and queue up for that door. Because that door is a refreshing door for me. When I open the door, I want to see water so that I can scoop up, not shower, scoop up. If I'm in last in queue, by the time I reach that door and open, I will only have sand in the bathtub. That's how bad it is. So no dilly-dally, drop my bags and queue up for that door. Then round the corner, when my tummy begins to churn and I need to go and do my business, I hate that door because it's a very terrible-looking wooden door that you only see if you only walk up the steps. And then you open and you have to hold your breath. And if it's at night, there's a candle or a torchlight and there's toilet paper rolled up and you want to make sure another hand clip here because those days we use bucket. Ew, what's that? You don't really know, right? So you got to step up and face that yucky door and try not to touch everything else except the knob. And the knob is also a wooden thing where you and then you go in, make sure you stand properly, don't touch anything else. And then you close that door, sangat sempit saja. You know, so don't touch anywhere. I really don't know how the bigger people went in without touching anything else. Okay, I was small, little. I wasn't that small, but I was 11-year-old. Yeah, maybe bigger. I was very huge, but not huge 11-year-old lah. Okay. That was a terrible door for me, a horrifying door, right? So whatever in your life, what kind of doors you face, I don't know. But doors connect us to something, whether it's a beautiful room or a stinky backyard or an emptiness or a lavish place. There's only 2 points in my message today. Firstly, we got to recognize open doors. And I believe in this season, some of us have already begun the season. Some of us are entering the season at the brink of open doors, and some will. But the thing that you need to do is to recognize doors. Recognize doors that God is opening or has opened or will open. Remember the poem I read? It has to be doors that God's very own hands open for us, not us trying to pry open prematurely. Sometimes that door is meant to be open for us, but the timing of that opening must be timed by God's alignment. Are you with me? It could be an open door for you, but it's not time. And when it's not time, you'll just stand there and you just wait upon the Lord. But if it's God's time, the door will open, whether you like it or not. But we must be able to recognize open doors. Revelations 4, 1. Let's look at that verse. After these things, I look. He says, after these things, I look. And behold, a door open. Before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I have first heard. Sorry, where am I? Did I? And the first voice which I heard, speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here and I will show you what must take place after this. I don't know how many of us have encountered that experience when we are praying, or suddenly in the midst of our everyday life, we suddenly realize that there is a door opening in front of us. But that door open in front of us must be accompanied by the voice of God. Don't simply walk through doors. We have to be very sensitive to the voice that come with that opening. And if it's God's voice, you will recognize. If you say, I don't recognize God's voice, then we have not been walking closely with God. If we have been walking closely with God, seeking His face and presence all day long, we will recognize God's voice. We will recognize that opening that comes from God's hand. Psalm 103, verse 5 says, I seek the Lord's face earnestly. And that word face in Hebrew means presence. Means when you seek God's face, you're seeking His presence. And if we are like psalmists, that we seek God's face or presence earnestly. Earnestly means with intensity, with fervency. It's an active activity that we do all the time. Then we must be able to recognize God's voice or presence. Sometimes God doesn't speak. He's very quiet. But His presence can be felt. Are you with me? Right? Some of us says, you don't have to hear Pastor Edward's voice because His presence already sent you some chills. I don't know whether your experience that. I think He has mellowed down in these last 10 years. Some of you have met some of my former youth who come back from overseas and visited us just now. They were very young when we pastored them. They were preteen, some of them, and some were early teenagers, but nothing above 15. And we have seen them grow. They were our youth leaders, like some of you, full of passion. And it's a joy in ministry that we reap when we see them grow. And they were telling us, thank you for putting that foundation in us. And yesterday, last night, we're at a wedding of another youth, and the parents came up and said, thank you for the work that you have done in my daughter's life, laying the foundation so that she can walk in God's way today. And we rejoice that that is the reward, not in monetary, but the reward, the joy of ministry, to see them grow. And so one of them was saying, it's really crazy and interesting how all the work you have done and Now, it's good that we are all serving, but we're all over the world. We're all over. And these people are all serving in mega churches. And one of them is a worship leader. She's a dynamic worship leader. And she worship lead in a church with thousands of people. And then she laughed it out. I said, yeah, we're always training people. And I send them out. Always training people and send them out. I said, I'm praying that this time we will have really good ones that don't keep going out but will stay to build the work here. Because it's important. In any case, if you're sent out, I say, then go impact the world. You know, but if the Lord doesn't send you out, then impact Penang. Impact Malaysia. If everybody keep going away, then what kind of revival will be us in Malaysia? And so these people has reminded me that that ministry is a joy. Ministry is a joy. And seeking His presence. These people has been seeking God's presence all these years. They are keeping that walk with the Lord. They are seeking His voice, seeking His face all the time. And so in Revelation 4:1 it says, behold. The word behold means you capture and you look at it intensely. Means you don't lose focus. You are intensely looking. Behold, when the door is open, you hear the voice. And when the voice comes, it says, come up here. Why? God invite us to come up. The invitation to enter into His presence. The invitation to come through that door. And maybe for some of us, it will be at the doorstep. Maybe for some of us, it's one step into. Maybe for some of us, it's come, right, sit here and have tea with me. But God says, come up and I will show you. Not come up only, but I will show you. Of things you will see must take place. I remember 7 years ago, our last Sabbath, we had one whole year of Sabbath, which did not happen this year for some reason. But that was most memorable time for the entire family to experience the power of faith, the power to believe and be still and let God take care. So we were being blessed for 2.5 months in Australia and in different parts of Australia, just resting in the Lord. So one of those days, we took a trip to Penguin Island in Victoria, where you see this little cute penguin that will come to shore. There's another name to it. What's the name? No. The place is not Penguin Island per se. Phillip Island. Yes, Phillip Island where the penguins come up. Tiny little cute thing, but you got to really be still. Sit there before sunset and wait and wait and wait and no talking and just wait until these little creatures come flapping up. And you just follow them into their burrow and see them going. That's all. But the thrill of the waiting to see them go through their little doors, you know. But that's not what I'm going to say. But just before we enjoy that little activity, then we have to, we have plenty of time ahead. So there is this maze outside. I can't remember. I think it's Enchant something. No? I can't remember the name, but it's a huge maze where they cut all the edges of the nice greeneries and then you go have fun. So we release our three daughters that time without Ashton and they go running around the maze. And then we go and do our hide and seek. And then you have to find your way out. Sometimes there's a way out, sometimes there's none. So you know, one is 3, one is 7, one is 8, and you know, they're just running all around and trying to find their way out. It took a long, long time. But I feel so smart. I found this high place that I went up. And then I looked down and I could see where is the way out. And while they're running around, I have the entire picture from the high place to see where is the opening of the maze. And when I was, just before I came to church, I thought of that illustration. When we are in a high place with God, we will be able to see. When we are down there, we will be lost trying to run and find our way out. because everything seems the same. It's green here, it's green here. Oh, you look like there's going to be an opening. And you know, have you run in a maze before? I haven't read Maze Runners, but I'm not sure if the story is like that. But you know, you see the excitement of kids, and then go in, oh, jalan mati, and then go around again. But we must receive and accept God's invitation to come up to the high place with Him. So that when we see from God's perspective, we see a broad picture. When we see from God's perspective, we see a clear picture. There is clarity. There is accuracy. You know exactly where is the opening and not trying to run around in the maze. For some, maybe for young people, for children, maybe it's very interesting, right? It's very thrilling in excitement. But if you apply in life, it's not very thrilling because everywhere is Jalan Buntu. It's not very nice. You just membabi buta and go. And then you, boom, oh, then you go again. You waste a lot of time. You waste money. You get tired. You're confused, trying to find the way out. But recognizing the door that God will open or will open or is going to open or is already open, you must accept the invitation to come up so that you can see from His perspective. Because He says, come up. That's an invitation. And then He says, I will show you. And then He says, show you what? Show you what are the things that's about to take place. Isn't that exciting? Last week I was in KL. 2 weeks ago, I had to go to different places. But for some reason that week, it took me longer to reach wherever I was going in that few times that I was supposed to find a place or a friend's place. Maybe Penang has changed routes quite a bit, you know. So there's a lot of one-way street. And once you hit the one-way street, you go one big round. But the whole week I was hitting that. And finally, before I left for KL that week, I got to pick up something for a friend. And again, I got lost. And I prayed. I said, Lord, I forbid this should happen in my spiritual walk. I forbid this should happen for the doors that God is opening, that I'm always taking the longer route to arrive. And some of us are in this kind of situation. We waste time. We waste energy. We get frustrated. So I stop at the roadside and I pray. I say, God, would you lead me to that place? I'm not a GPS person, not particularly a Waze fan like my husband, who is totally a Waze, pro-Waze. Anything, use Waze. But I cannot concentrate trying to look here, then drive, look here, and then drive, unless I have a navigator with me. So I usually want, if I can't get to a place, I try to memorize the route and try to visualize before I start driving. Right? Otherwise, you're thinking, why so silly when I never use GPS always? Why are you always getting lost? But I guess I'm not such a modern lady. So, and there was one time, just recently, we reached home and it's late at night. And usually I park the car and the children will go down first. Whoever has the key, open the door and go in. I said, open the gate and go in. And it's already late. And all of them stood there. And I came down and said, how come you're not in yet? Because it's dark. Usually I ask them quickly go in. And then, Ashley looked at me. And then I look at her. I say, why are you waiting? Because my keys is in your hands. And she said, oh yeah. Please don't forget, God gave us keys. Keys to open unlocked doors. Isaiah 22:22 says, we talked about this last year, that God placed the keys, and keys represent authority on our shoulder, to unlock the doors that needs to be unlocked so that it remained open, to shut the door that needs to be shut so that it remains shut. So we have keys in our hand, seen or unseen. Keys of authority that we must learn to use. So the keys of my house, that authority, I pass on to my daughter. She forgot the keys was with her. But finally, she took the key out. Before she put it in the lock, I put my hand in because I spotted that it was not locked. So I put my hand through the gate, and you know my gate, nah, a bit, it's coming down, lah. So we put a brick there to tahan it. So I put it in. I say, are you sure the gate is locked? Because Edward came home already. And so I unlatched it. It wasn't locked. And then we all laughed. I say, what a spiritual lesson. Number one, you had the key you forgot to use. You've been given that authority. Number two, you don't even need the key because the gate is open. You just need to put your hand through, unlatch it, and walk through. And how many of us do not recognize that doors are open for us right in front of us? And then we are still begging God to open doors, open gates, open, open, open. When it is already open, all you have to do is unlatch and walk through. That's a gate. But if the door is open and you don't need a key, all you need to do is a gentle touch and it will open. So we have to be very sensitive and alert. The Bible says to be alert, to be watchful. So we have to wake up. Don't run around the maze and get lost, but respond to God's invitation to come up and hear Him so that He can show us. And that means He will guide us. That means He will lead us. That means He will teach us. But recognizing doors alone is not enough. But I must say, if that door is not opened by God, do not pry open. Are you with me? If that door you've been knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking, blue black, still sweating, knocking, and it doesn't open, means it's not meant to open or not time, then you wait. Because when doors open prematurely, you will step into danger zone. You'll be in trouble. Are you with me? Are you with me? Can you pat your neighbor and say, wake up? And we being children of God, we are constantly engaged in a warfare. And so the enemies will always, always try to confuse us and stop us from opening the right door. But we have to recognize and we have to arise to declare that we are unstoppable. Are you unstoppable? Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you are unstoppable? I am unstoppable. You can only be unstoppable if you carry the Spirit of Mighty God and declare that Spirit to arise. All of us carry the Spirit of the Mighty God. The moment you receive Jesus Christ, you've been given that Spirit. But that Spirit must be activated. If it's not activated and lie dormant, you cannot not be unstoppable. Because the enemy knows if your spiritual vibrancy is in dormant, that's it. You are just very easy to be stopped. You can only be unstoppable when your spirit is being activated. And we have to ask God to close all doors of confusion and give us signs of clarity. And don't fall into the signs that the world try to confuse us. So recognizing that open door, we need the second part of your action, and that is the courage to open it. You recognize it, you must have the courage to open it. Okay, I'm still at one, point one. Point one, the first part is you must recognize. The second part, you must have courage after you recognize. And we've been saying Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 6. Verse 9. To be strong, to be courageous. We can only access those openings that leads to fulfill God's purposes and in alignment of God's will when we have the courage to open doors. Is courage easy? Can you say, I'm courageous? We declare very easily, be strong and courageous. But when we say that, we will be put through situation where your strength and your courage will be tested. I know some of you are, It's easy to say it, but it's another thing to do it. Sometimes in the most simple things in life, it takes a lot of courage to stand up for what is right. it takes a lot of courage to say, I want to be different because I'm God's child. It takes a lot of courage to be in the midst of darkness and stand as a light. Yes? No? Strength and courage is from God. We cannot have it by ourselves. We have it when it is brewed in that secret place with our Father. Then you will receive strength and courage. So having the recognition, you must have the courage to access those open doors. Secondly, is to reach out for Jesus' hand. You can recognize the door or the gate is open, but you need to reach out for Jesus' hand. Back to Psalm 103 verse 5 that says that I seek the Lord earnestly. I seek the Lord's face. I seek the Lord's presence. When that door, God is standing in that door, in the midst of the doorway or inside, then we are safe. When you reach out and you cannot feel God, don't go in. Is it too difficult to imagine? When you reach out and you cannot feel God's hand, don't go in. And when I say that, it means God's presence. You must recognize if God is standing at the doorway, then go in. Reach out for Jesus' hand and go in. Isaiah 41 verse 10, let's look at that. You know, God is always stretching out his hands, but we must stretch out and hold his hand. I have this picture of, you know, little children when they try to be independent. 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, that's the time they want to gain independence. More so if it's choleric children. I've seen how my children grew up, all very independent. Boys, and parents will reach out. Usually if you see danger, you will reach out. But the children don't want. It's like, come on. I'm big now, okay, mom? I can cross the road myself. I don't need you to. You know, so God is like a good father. He's always reaching out. But it's whether we want to reach out to God, to hold God's hand, or you say, come on, God, I can do it. I can handle it. I'm self-sufficient. I'm independent. You think I'm what? A weakling? A lot of Christians don't realize that we tell God that in our response to him when God is reaching out. We refuse help. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes. I will help you. Yes. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, the yes, yes is a KJV version, I think, or NKJV. There's a double reinforcement. I will strengthen you. Yes. I will help you. Yes. I will uphold you with my right hand. And God's right hand speaks of righteousness. God is always extending his hand of help. And so when we recognize the door, we must reach out and feel for God. Where's your hand, God? Give me your hand, God. If you can't feel God's hand, you must feel his presence. And like I say, a lot of times we may feel nothing, but you know of that presence. You know. If you say, I don't know lah, haven't even experienced before. What does it mean when people say, I feel God? We all feel God in different ways. Doesn't have to be spooky. But you just know it in your own way. When you have enough time with him, you will know God's presence. Some of you feel warm. I remember many occasions when we're praying in our family time. In an aircon room, we can feel so warm. And it's a nice kind of warm, not hot and sweaty kind of warm. But just very nice kind of warm. And when my children were very young, they could recognize like somebody is wrapping around them. That kind of warmth. And we know that it is God in the midst. Some of us feel that tingling electrical sensation going through our spine. not spooky. Sometimes spooky one also can give you chills. But the one that God let you experience is something you know is powerful, is indescribable, but it's powerful. I remember one time before I got married and I went up for an altar call. And as the person, the minister was praying, not even touching me, that electrical power just went through me. I was knocking all over. I was just trembling, but it's not a kind of scared kind of trembling. But every part of me was knocking inside. And I feel like my butt was also knocking and shaking like I've never experienced before. I became so paranoid and so self-conscious, like, God, can you not let people around me, behind me, I'm in front, right, see that my butt is shaking so much? Because it felt that way. It felt like, you know, I was just having electric waves all running through me. So I don't know. Some people feel it differently, but that's my experience. But you ask God to tell you when His presence is with you. His presence is with us. Scriptures tell us that His presence is with us. But we're talking about the manifested presence. We're talking about the Shekinah glory presence. Are you with me? That's a different. But God's presence is always, always with us. And God promised that He will help us. Mark 10:16 say, and He took them up in His arms, put His hands upon them and blessed them. When you are at the door or into that door, if God's hand is upon you, if you reach out for His hand, He'll bless you. And when you have God's blessing, you are safe, you will prosper, you will succeed. Isaiah 59:1 said, behold again. He said, behold, means take attention. Capture that moment with Him. The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither His ear too heavy, that He cannot hear. God's hand is never too short to save. His hand is never too short to reach out to yours. Only you. I have a very short hand. Some of you have a very long hand, right? A very short hand. But I still can feel God. So there's no reason for you. All you have longer hands than me. That's for sure. Right? Don't agree, is it? I always envy tall people. We have this guy 6'1" in our climbing club. In Putrajaya, I say, it's so not fair, right? Because you're 6 feet, 6'1", and your leg is so long, and your hand is so long. You just, like that, already reach. Like that, you already reach. Short people like us, we have to maneuver our way, and then we have to jump for those difficult ones, you know? You have to stretch all, and then jump. But for tall people, long hands, long limbs, when they cannot do it, I say, cannot be. You must be able to do it because, not only this guy, for other people, you know, they always say, I just met someone in a wedding dinner, and I only come to your climbing club once. They cannot go up at all. I say, cannot be. Cannot be, you cannot go up one. Just the right technique. Because you should see Crystalline climb. 23 times up and down, she does endurance test. You know, that means she wants to see how many times she can go without stopping. 23 rounds. She came back. She said, I conquered 23. Okay, salute. I don't know whether I can do that. But my point is, she's so tiny. Maybe also the weight, she's so tiny, so when she jumped, but still, you need a certain technique. So if you are taller, then your limbs are tall, you don't even need to jump, you just stretch. 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 Already get it. So stretch. Stretch and grab hold of God's hand. Yes, Joseph. Because I look at you like, you give me that expression like, oh, very susah like that. You know? Not susah because you're so much taller than me, longer hands. Stretch and grab hold of God's hand. Feel His presence. Feel His presence. You know, the presence is something that you can't describe, but it makes you safe, feel safe. Yes? Sometimes I'm so busy, and my little children will be flocking around me. And just a few nights ago, Krista sat beside me. She read by herself, and I was reading to Ashton. And I say, why are you reading next to me? Just go to your own space and read and go to sleep so that I can put Ashton to sleep. Her response was, I just want your presence. I don't need you to read to me. I just want your presence. So she's just sitting there reading her own book and I'm reading to Ashton. All she wanted was that assuring presence. So I say, why do you want my presence? She says, because it always feels good when I have your presence. Do we feel good when we have God's presence? Or we shun His presence because He's watching us. He's watching us all the time. All those little naughty things that we're doing. But when God watches us, we're in a safe place. Love without boundaries is not love. True, powerful, strong love always comes with boundaries. And if you interview children, teenagers, children who are safe and secure are parents who give them boundaries. Without boundaries, go lah, do anything you want. Everything is permissible. Just go and do. A lot of teenagers I talk to says they don't feel safe because my parents don't care. So don't think that boundaries are bad. Boundaries drawn to safeguard you. That is true love. And God gives us that boundary so that we are safe to explore within this confinement. Anything you step over that zone, you enter into danger zone. And you pay a price and bear the consequences of crossing the line. You wait for your train behind the yellow line. Right? But I know some children, some teenagers, they're just very gung-ho lah. So what? I've seen. Step over the yellow line. So what? I can't forward. I step over. Right? But the more they play, the more they go to the edge. The yellow line is there. Because once you cross the line, you can forget how much you sway from that forbidden line. Are you with me? So don't test God when He gives you a boundary. But reach out. Reach out for His hand, which is not short. Reaching out for God's hand is not enough. Once you feel His presence and you catch hold of that hand, you must have the confidence to walk through it. You must have the confidence to walk through it. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And verse 5 says, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we know the way? The disciples asked, how do we know the way, Lord? And Jesus' response was very clear, simple, and concise. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And if we recognize His presence, we catch hold of His hand, then we are guaranteed that we are walking in the right way because Jesus is there. And when Jesus is there, it is the right way. When Jesus is there, that is the true way. So when God is with us, we will know the right way. If we can see God at the door, then we can reach out to Him. And when we can reach out to Him, we can enter through Jesus. Hebrews 10:19 says, enter by a new and living way. And that is through His flesh, through His broken body. Verse 23 went on to say, let us hold fast. Hold fast to the confession of the hope that we profess in Christ Jesus, because He who promised, He is faithful. He is faithful. God is faithful. So many times when I pray and ask God, how do I do this? How do I enter? And He always show me Hebrews 10. Enter through me, because I, your Lord, in my broken body, through my own flesh, I make that new and living way for you. We can only enter through Jesus Christ. Amen. And we also in the know that the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 14:33, can we look at that? He says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. When you can enter that door and find peace in that stepping over, find peace once you step over, then you are in the right place. But when you don't have peace, then something is not right. So we must recognize that God may seem like He messed up a lot of our plans, right? A lot of times. This year, all our plans has been messed up. All has been messed up. But I'm not angry with Him, because I know He's a God of order. That in that chaotic mess, there is an order from His perspective. Because He's a God who knows exactly what He's doing. Who know what we need and don't need. And if He has an order, I follow that order. And when I submit to His order, I will find my peace. So let's hold on to the promise in 1 Corinthians 14:33. That when we enter through those doors, we must have the peace of God. That will give us the confidence to go through that door. And as I pray for the church, some of you by name, some the Lord has not impressed upon me to pray by name, but generally we're covering the church. But some names have been come up in my prayer. Doors are opening. But what must we do? Recognize the doors. Have courage to open it. Reach out for Jesus' hand. Have confidence to enter. Some of us, the door is going to open. Not yet, but it's going. But the Lord requires obedience, submission from us. Some more than just one door. Some many doors. And at the same time, the enemy will confuse us all the time. He will attempt to confuse us by opening different doors. Then it's up to you and me to recognize which doors belong to God for us. Which door is temptation, confusion, and disillusion? That is not for me to tell you, but for you to seek the Lord and ask. But every time I pray, I keep seeing doors opening. And I've been asking God, what does these doors mean? I know the doors for my life, but what are those doors for your life? Can I have the worship team up? For those of you who already recognize doors opening, would you stand so that we can pray? That you know doors are opening, but you're seeking God, would you stand? Father, I thank You for doors that connect us to something else. Father, release Your clarity, Your courage, Your confidence to those who already recognize open doors. That Lord, when they step in, they will step in alignment with Your will and Your purposes. I declare that in Jesus' name. I want those who are waiting for doors to open. You've been knocking, you've been seeking, but you don't really know if doors are opening. I want you to stand. And I believe all of us have that. I thank You for the cross. The mighty cross in front of us. I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ over our lives. I thank You for the power of the living hope that we have in Christ Jesus. We declare, O God, that doors belongs to You. Our destiny belongs to You. Father, for your sons and your daughters standing in your presence right now, I ask, O God, for your favor to open doors that are meant to be opened in Jesus' name. And it will remain open. I feel the anointing of the Lord in this place. And if you know what doors God is opening, just declare it open and walk through it. I declare clarity for those who are seeking for doors to be open. I declare, God, your confirmation. And I ask, God, that you will strengthen and empower us to use the keys of authority that you have given to us to open those doors that needs to be opened right now in Jesus' name. I rebuke every confusion from the attempt of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. I silence every voice of the enemy that tries to confuse your children to go to the different doors, not even to the windows. In Jesus' name, I stop every ridicule, every mockery, every temptation, every confusion. I declare focus on your people. I declare your focus over the church as we concentrate and be deliberate to the doors that you are causing us to open. Not by might, not by power, but by the strength of the mighty God. Father, we will not pry open doors prematurely. Kurianda bakianda shakadada bakiyande. Kuramasariando rabahasharana karionda rabiyande. Shakariando romahalasikianda. Father, forgive us for the fear that we have, even for the doors that we know that comes from you. For some of us, doors are opening, but our excuses. Oh, our excuses to God. Because we are afraid of commitment. Because we are afraid of the commitment that comes from entering those doors. Father, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. For some of us, we have left those keys given to us. And we can't find those keys. Father, I ask that you will remind us how to retrieve our spiritual keys to unlock doors. Kiondora basha kianda. I declare every door of opportunity that lead your people to success, to be a testimony for you, be open right now in Jesus' name. Every door that comes from God that lead us to be better witness, open right now in Jesus' name. The door of education, the door of family life, the door of business world, the door of media and creative arts, the door in sports and recreation. Swing wide. Swing wide. Those involved in sports ministry, it's not just one door. But God is opening gates. Gates to big fields. Lord, strengthen the sports ministers. Young and old. All those who play sports for you. I ask for strengthening for the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. I ask for strength, O God. I ask, O Lord, for strength for those in the business world. That doors, new doors will open. New doors will open. I speak prosperity. I speak clarity. I speak favor in Jesus' name. Raise up your hand towards heaven. Only you know what doors God is opening. You declare for your own life. You declare.
Father, we thank you for your grace upon our lives. You give us the authority and the power to walk through doors that you have set before us, and we are truly grateful. And this day we choose, O God, your ways. Your ways. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.